The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
Andy, Jimmy, JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Footy Prime's 1,000th episode. I can't believe it. Feels like only yesterday. It was Danny Diccio, Craig Forrest, James Sharman, and Daniel Joseph Wong. And since then, we added Jimmy Brennan and Amy Dubs Walsh. Couldn't have done it without all of us together. So hey,
here's to 1,000 and to 1,000 more. And thanks for all you listening. You're who we do it for. There's just one question I have to ask today.
Damn.
Longer. Hey, where's that money you promised me on that first day?
Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Footy Prime the Podcast, episode 1,000. Let's get this party started. With love, JC. Mwah.
I got tears.
Very white at the end there.
So good.
Yeah, so good. It's so sexy. JC's tones, man. Like, he could switch me.
Well, there was that night in Calgary.
Well, there was that night. Wasn't that a song? That night in Calgary.
There was definitely a lot of you could eat that.
Hey, it's Footy Prime. It's New Year's Eve. But more importantly, as mentioned, it's our 1,000th episode. Hopefully, not 1,000 more. Man, that's a long time. Truth is, we may have done more than 1,000. There may have been some shows lost along the way.
Mm-hmm. But or less. You get best ofs, right?
Oh,
we've dropped best ofs.
They count as best ofs, don't they? As shows?
Yeah, but it's like playing a rerun, right? And saying, oh, it's another show. If we were to go in syndication, we couldn't use those best of shows.
Yeah, true. But I honestly think we have done over 1,000 shows. JC, you cut them all, don't you think?
Well, we've put out more than 1,000. And we did that, the live one that got lost in the mix. There's a couple that we recorded live that never got released.
Right.
That are out there with a lot of questionable material.
Yeah. So today's just a live, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of.
Like, no, we're celebrating fuck all right now because we don't even know.
Yeah, we just made it up.
You know what, Jimmy, the way you're sitting, the way his set is, there's like a gray pillar between two pictures going towards his head, which connect with his Raiders emblem. Ooh. It looks like it's a big microphone hanging from the ceiling.
Oh.
Do you see that too?
Yeah, now I do.
Or is it a big dick?
It's a big Raiders
dick. It's a big dick for sure. It's
definitely a big dick.
Anyway, listen, it all began 6 years ago at Craig's house for the original demo. Craig, Diccio, and myself. Then Wong has stumbled upon us and took us to Eggplant Picture and Sound Studio, where we found JC between two couch cushions.
Yes, it's true.
So from that plush professional studio, that was great, by the way. Remember those days? That was an amazing studio. We moved into a tent.
That's true. By a garage.
Yeah, and a garage. That's right. Yep. Our boy, Brendan Dunlop, would play a big role. And then COVID hit.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the great things about COVID, there's so many great things about COVID, was the advent of virtual studios. And here we are. Jimmy Brennan, Amy Walsh classed up the joint, or at least Amy did. And FP has grown into Canada's number one soccer podcast, which still blows my mind how we did that. Craig, do you remember the first day, the first episode? Do you remember the early days?
Yeah, I do. I do. And then we moved to Tassie Cameron's garage.
Second garage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember my feet being frozen.
Mm-hmm. I remember because it was freezing cold. Then we moved to the tent and Deitch having to like scale the wall to take a piss mid-show every single show.
Well, because our friends in Amsterdam would bring in, they would send us case after case of beer. That's right. So we just, everywhere we were, there were just cans and cans everywhere.
But sometimes JC would drive all over Toronto just to drop off the beer and then stick around for the intro and then leave. And we were like, all right, thank you. That was brilliant.
6 years, 1,000 episodes, though. I mean, it is really something. I think we stuck around this long. Maybe it will be another 1,000 episodes, in which case, the money better start rolling in.
And I need to clarify, I love our opening, but I never promised anyone anything. Just so you know.
Well, we did make money for a while.
Yeah, we did.
A little bit of money.
Yeah.
I feel good about this next year. I do.
Yeah, SiriusXM, that SiriusXM deal, we've been putting the link up. They sent out a press release. These are real professional people that we have to do 192 shows for. Like that, we're contracted. So we're going to smile and do 192 shows, the six of us.
Whether at least, right? We've already done, we just done 1,000 or 1,097.
We'll just do best ofs, 192 best ofs.
So where do you want to go today?
I thought we had a big question first.
We do. Yeah. We have a few, actually, right?
Yeah.
So Dubs, you thought about this yesterday, last night, gave us lots of time to think about it. Looking back on the year that was, 2025. So why don't you address the masses with your question?
Is it a good idea to start with that or to what we put out to the public for what their favorite Footy Prime interview was of the year? You want to do that first? Or do you want
I think we start personality first and I'll give it away. Right. And then we'll go to that.
Yeah. So, I mean, we kind of covered it, I think, in our Christmas or Quizmas episode about 2025. It was a huge year for football, world football, but also domestically. So I wanted to put it to you guys. Who do you think is the personality of the year in Canadian football? So why don't we start with Wonger?
Wait till the end for me. I've been thinking about this a lot. Yes, please.
How dare you? Okay, Forrest.
Thinking about it so much that he needs
a couple. No. That's not it. It's a crescendo.
Right. I don't know. I think we have a lot of great personalities, both the women and the men. It's outstanding. But I would say Promise David. I think what he did last year with his club team, winning that trophy with his club and the interview he did with us and just the, you know, his mannerism, everything about him, he was just such a lovely guy and very loyal almost to a fault, I think. But just, just top guy. And just, I hope he can achieve everything he wants to because he's been doing incredibly well so far.
I think he's the type of guy as well. And the personality didn't have to be within our respective national teams, whether it's men's or women's. But I like the shout a lot because he really made an impression on me because he's unique. He's different. He speaks his mind. He gives you a great quote, but it's all authentic. Like it never comes off as being disingenuous. Right. Yeah. So I think that's why he's beloved by his teammates, but I think he's really desperately needed as we move into a year that's going to have a home World Cup.
Well, I think also with Promise, compared to the other stars in the men's team, he seems more comfortable in front of a camera in the spotlight. I don't think John David isn't necessarily comfortable in that role as far as cameras being stuck in his face. He's fine, right? Fonzie as well, you know, not the greatest quote. He loves doing his own personal stuff. That's great. And maybe he'll grow into it. But Promise just seems to kind of light up. He lights up when there's a camera on him or a microphone, right? And really, he hasn't accomplished very much for Canada yet. So there's so much of a ceiling for him. It's a high ceiling. And we shouldn't probably talk too much about him before we get to the the Razor Ruddock guest of the year. But I think it's a great shout for sure.
How about you, Shams?
Okay. You see, personality, I mean, there's so many directions to go. I'm going to go with Dana Matheson. Dee, obviously a friend of the show, but she was everywhere this year. She launched a brand new league, which is massive for the game in this country. But she was everywhere, on every network, on every radio show, every podcast, getting the message out about this brand new league launching this past summer. And I think that's a really big deal for Canadian soccer in these quarters. We need to promote that. So yeah, I'm going with Dee, and not just because she's a friend of the show, even though she stiffed us for the trivia contest.
Fucking stiff.
Yeah. Right. I want to never forget.
Great idea. I'm going to host it myself.
I'm sure she did a better job than we would anyway. But you know, I think she's been a huge part of the game in this country. And yes, we can focus on the men's side, and perhaps we should, given what's happening in 2026. But let's not dismiss what she accomplished and what she built over the last few years, and it all came to fruition in this past year.
Good choice. Bastard.
That was mine. But I love it. I love that you beat me to the punch. Jimmy, did you want to go next, or shall I go?
It doesn't matter. If you'd like to go, you can go.
Okay. So Charm stole mine. But
ladies third.
As I said, I'm really pleased that you went with Dee, because it's well deserved. I'm going to go maybe off the board slightly, maybe not somebody that you would immediately think about personality of the year as it pertains to Canadian soccer, but I'm going to go with Thomas Muller.
Great one.
Yeah, because I think he brought credibility. He brought, you know, a winning mentality to a franchise that was getting there but hadn't quite gotten it over the line in the past. And he dropped into a culture and a team that I think had been built really well. Our best of yesterday was the architect of it all, and Axel Schuster was also a guest on this show. We had Jesper Sorensen on, who was wonderfully, I think, upfront with everything that he wanted to accomplish, really candid, pragmatic as that Dane, but I think just was exactly the right guy to guide that team and to shepherd them to an MLS Cup final, a CONCA Champions final. They won the Voyageurs Cup for the fourth year in a row, but I don't know if they do it without the personality. And I think the wily veteran aspect and the guy who knows how to win in Thomas Muller. And I think he embraced everything that Vancouver was. The team and the city and the community embraced him right back. But he was exactly that element, that X factor that the Vancouver Whitecaps needed. And I think in a lot of ways, the Canadian soccer landscape needed.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he was a massive part of the Canadian narrative. When did he arrive in? When was that?
August.
Was it August?
September. Yeah.
August. Just looking at the number of thumbnails I made along with Dubs with his face in it. That alone, he must have won the thumbnail battle, right? This year?
Thumbnail wars. Yes, he did. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4. I declare a thumbnail war.
And he'd be up for that too. Like from showing up to the game wearing a Terry Fox sweatshirt to showing up at an NSL game, talking about how great he thought Latifa Abdu's second goal was. Like, he just knew exactly what to say. But again, going back to Promise David, and I think why he hit a nerve in the right way is because, or in the best way, is because it never seemed like anybody was telling him what to do. There was never anybody pulling the strings. It was the guy just doing what he can do. So that's, for me, why he's the personality of the year. Jimmy.
I wish Alistair Johnson wasn't injured, because I love his personality when he gets going. When he's playing his football, his interviews after, his enthusiasm, brilliant. But unfortunately, I can't vote for him. So I'm going to go with Jesse Marsh. I think with Jesse, I like how he's bought into the culture. When he speaks, it's always we talking as if he's a Canadian now, because he's bought into what he's preaching right now about the country and our national team program. He's traveling across the country, meeting people, integrating himself with the Canadian landscape. And he's great in interviews. Every time he's come on the show, we have a great interview. We have a good laugh with him. He's invited us to Italy, to his house. But I just think overall, as an individual and a national team coach, I just think his personality has been very, very good. I think he's impressed a lot of people. So that's who I'm going for.
That's a great one. Yeah. I mean, that was really good one. Very high on my list as well. He really has just completely encapsulated what we needed as from a coach coming out of a controversial few months, sadly. And that's taken nothing away from John Herdman and what he accomplished with that team. But Jesse Marsh arrives and he's so brash. And it's like us against the world. And we need that as Canadians, I think. Bit of edge. Good guy, but can be a bit of a dickhead on the pitch. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's really important.
And toed the line in a lot of regards, but especially standing up to the 51st state rhetoric. Like that was huge for, as an American, being able to do that and do it really eloquently and do it in a way that was, you know, that didn't waffle, that wasn't kind of backing down from anybody. Right. It was that swagger again, but done in exactly the right way.
That took balls, right?
Mm-hmm.
It really
did. It was dangerous territory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny, too, if you look back at Jesse's year, not a lot of off notes. You know, like there hasn't been a couple missteps on
like
the field.
Like JC's open.
Yes, but no missteps outside of the stadiums and the arenas and, you know, the football pitches.
JC.
Well, I was going to say Wayne Gretzky, because he really encapsulated how literate and educated and non-drunk we are. But I'm going to have to go. It's a little weird. I'm going to go with the Canadian soccer fan. Because regardless of the fact that that soccer doesn't get the nearly the coverage that it needs through mainstream, you know, sports television, through the duopoly, going into all these different types of games that we went to this year and seeing all the different fans that are supporting all the different facets of Canadian soccer, whether it be the men's national team, the women's national team, our domestic leagues, MLS, CPL, whatever. It's just there's 41% of Canada that's behind that daily ingest soccer. And being able to see that without the help of, the media is fantastic. So big up to yourselves, fans of Canadian soccer.
That's a good one. I love that. That's nice. That's nice. Mm-hmm.
They should save Wongers for after, because we've got a special guest.
Yeah, I think so.
We do have a special guest.
We've got a very special guest. And I've only been asking to get this guy on for about the last, 3 years. Finally found time in his busy schedule as a professional football coach to join us once again. Let's bring him on, JC. It's one of the OGs of Footy Prime, looking as cool as ever, Daniele Diccio. Beach, how you doing, pal?
I'm not doing well, actually. Who does a podcast at 9 o'clock in the morning? Right? When we used to do podcasts, it was like 9 o'clock in a cold, dingy garage somewhere in East Etobicoke. I'm great, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing good. We can't believe we hit 1,000, Deej. I mean, my God. Can you believe we've done 1,000? When you left, you figured it was done, right?
It's similar to me and Craig. We couldn't believe we hit 50 years old. So I think kind of similar to you guys hitting 1,000. So congratulations. Love it. You guys are doing a great job. I'm just pleased I was a part of the beginning of it. But it's a fantastic achievement.
Charms, we have to do a quick introduction too, because Dubs, Amy has never met Danny. So Danny, meet Amy. So hello, Dubs, Amy. And Deech are the nicknames.
Pleased to meet you, Amy.
Pleased to meet you as well. I'm just going to go straight in and call you Deech, okay?
That's perfect, yeah.
Love it.
I don't know my other name anymore. I won't tell you what Jimmy used to call me as well.
No, please do.
That dirty, dirty Englishman is what he called.
Deech, do you remember that time we were rooming together? And you woke up, you went into the bathroom, and I'm kind of waking up a little bit, and you came out. Now, Deech's tongue was black like my shirt. And I picture this guy coming out of the bathroom, 6'3", big bald-headed man with a jet black tongue, right? He scared the shit out of me. I jumped out of bed, and I was like, Deech, just stay there. What is going on with you? He wasn't feeling well, right? And he's in panic mode as well, because he doesn't know why his tongue's black. So the night before, he wasn't feeling well, and he took some antibiotics. And what ended up happening, all the toxins were coming out, and it made his tongue black. The two of us were freaking out in the room. I was scared for my life. I thought this guy had some weird disease I was going to get. I was like, stay the fuck away from me, Deech. Do not come near me.
Yeah, just many an event that sharing a room with you, Jimmy, caused me pain or distress, I think.
That's because I was just naked all the time.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was.
Beach.
So, likes so being naked.
When you left the podcast, right? I mean, you had to follow your coaching dream, of course, you know, going south of the border. Too bad it didn't work out for you, huh?
Well, you know, I go back to, I think that the podcast really elevated my career into management. So you can give yourselves a lot of props for that. But no, I think we all know the story behind it, guys. It was a tough position for me to leave Canada, which, you know, my oldest son still lives in Toronto. My kids grew up there. We still call that home rather than, you know, England, even though I was just back seeing my parents before Christmas. But it was tough, but it was part of, I think, my career change that I had to make because things were not happening at Toronto. They'd hired 16 different coaches, managers, and, you know, didn't even think about interviewing myself or other people that have been associated with the club for many, many years. So that hurt me. But I think leaving the club was the best decision I could make. Still seems the club, Toronto, is in a lot of turmoil still. I think it's maybe getting on the right path at the moment. And I hope so, you know, because I have a lot of affection for that club still. I was there for 15 years or so. So, but making that decision for me and my family to leave Toronto and move south, as you said, we went to beautiful California, which was a great 2 years of our life, but great for my career. And again, it elevated me to becoming a head coach, which I always wanted to be. So I'm in the mix of it now. The stress, the emotions, and, you know, the things that you don't associate with being a head coach really, really hits home at times. But I love my job. I love living in Detroit. It's a great city to live in. Very, like, blue-collar, hardworking people, very humble people here as well. And I'm working for a club, an organization that, you know, really, really want to push through with soccer in this city. And we got a new stadium coming in next year. And the club are kind of really, really interested in just pushing our boundaries as much as possible. And that's what I love, working for the club.
And USL, I mean, that's an ambitious league too. I love the way they talk and where they, you know, that the comparison to MLS, but they don't give a shit, do they? The people that run that league.
No, not at all. And I think they, a little bit similar to me, where they felt kind of hard done by in the sense of they weren't looked at as someone that could probably lead a league or division in this country. And, you know, MLS have obviously taken that league to a different level. I don't know how many levels we've gone through. I mean, Craig, you remember MLS 1.0, and now I don't know what level we're on now. I think we're in level 4 or 5 with Messi coming in. But USL have just said, okay, we're not thought of in this country as a serious league, so we're going to go off and do our own thing. And they've really improved the league, even since when I played in it with, or not played in it, coached in it with Toronto FC in USL League One. Just over that COVID period, seeing how the league has evolved, not only the teams, the resources, the players that are coming into the league are very, very good as well. But just their understanding of how they want to be different than the MLS, how they want to, you know, increase the demands of the ownership and the resources that they put into their teams, the stadiums. That all needs to improve still, but there's a willingness to do that. And obviously the talk of promotion and relegation is a massive highlight for everyone involved with the league, players, coaches, and ownership.
You say that now. Bit more pressure on your job now, I suppose, when they bring that in.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that everyone's talking the good game at the moment, Shams, and I don't think what people or ownership understand is that promotion relegation really affects the clubs in not only a financial way, but a recruitment way. You know, inviting players in from overseas, from fan perspective as well. So if you've invested a lot of money to be in the Premier League of USL and suddenly you're in a relegation race 10 months later, whether you're an expansion team or a team that, that plows a lot of money into your stadium, into your team, and suddenly you might be playing in USL League One next year, that's going to be a whole new you know, ball game for a lot of these ownership groups and for sporting directors that have never been involved with that before.
Yeah.
So, Craig, you're jumping in there?
No, I was going to ask you about the standard each of the league. Have you noticed an improvement? Because we certainly have in the Canadian Premier League, and the standard of play is increasing to a level that I didn't think was possible so quickly. Do you notice that in the States as well?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's the inclusion of players that are coming from overseas, but also the drop down of players from MLS, Craig, the players from MLS Next Pro that are not making it to the MLS. So they're being given an opportunity to come to USL Championship, USL League One as well, to continue with their trade and try to possibly get a move to Europe or get back up into MLS. And then you have that that group of players that are very, very good USL players, Craig, but just don't have that added piece of quality to get to MLS. So not saying they're bad players, but they're very, very good players for USL, but there's something missing within their game that they're not going to play in MLS. And they're fine with that. They know that. They're going to earn good money here in the USL Championship or League One and you know, kind of write out a career for themselves in this league. But the quality's definitely improved. The resources have improved as well, Craig. We still have, I think, three or four stadiums that play in a baseball stadium, similar to New York City, where they kind of reorganize the field. But they're in communities and cities where they don't have many stadiums in these places. And the community, as you know, is a big part of the clubs within the USL Championship. They're not in major cities like your New Yorks, your DCs, your Chicago. So I think that the cities that those stadiums are in, they're trying their best. The league are putting certain rules in with not only the field, the stadium. They want to try and get away from the AstroTurf as well. We have a pretty bad turf field in Detroit as well. But then it comes down to finances and weather within that city as well, and conditions that you just want to make the best product possible on the field for the fans and the media that are coming in.
Do you think with the new stadium that's going to help you as well with recruitment, bringing people into Detroit, making this the club even more legit than what it is? Because you got a fantastic fan base at the moment. And also with the money that's being spent, are they looking to have a training facility as well, Deitch?
Well, these are all big questions, you know, that you try to slide in there with the ownership. And again, I go back to the ownership have done a fantastic job. This is going to be a private stadium as well. This is not going to be owned by the city or anything. So the ownership have got a bunch of investors in that are really trying to make this the best stadium possible in obviously in Michigan for soccer. So there's a huge investment that has come in. They are still deliberating whether to put an AstroTurf or grass field in. We would like a grass field gym, to be quite honest. With that comes added expense of putting underground heating in and all the stuff that comes with it. But training ground is a big question as well, because it's so important when you're trying to recruit players, Jim, that say older players like ourselves, when we joined Toronto and we had no idea, when Mo Johnson didn't tell us that we had an AstroTurf field, and we only knew when walking out into the stadium that it was an AstroTurf pitch. So older players don't really want to play or train on AstroTurf. So that's a big kind of red flag for us in recruitment. But I think going back to your question, which you said, is it going to be easier to recruit players? Maybe because they want to play in a big stadium in front of fans, but you'll still find there's a lot of things when you're moving to a new city with family. There's a lot of things that have got to tick off for players, but where we do a good job, a really good job of looking after the players coming to Detroit with the housing situation, with just the player care off of the field. We're probably in the top five in the USL Championship in doing that. And we have to do that to try and recruit players to Detroit. When the players get to Detroit, they finally understand what a great city it is. We have four major sports teams that play in that downtown core with, you know, the Pistons, the Tigers, the Lions, and the Red Wings that are all within a 1 mile radius of each other. And the city have, you know, invested a lot of money improving the downtown core. And then you've obviously got your areas, neighborhoods, 15, 20 minutes outside of the downtown area that are really nice family secure neighborhoods as well. So there's things that we can speak about to the players about from the football side of things in trying to recruit them and trying to say how much they would improve or be an added bit of spice to the squad. But there's a lot of stuff off the field that we have to negotiate with these players and their families as well.
You just signed, like you just signed a 2-year contract. I saw it come up on Detroit FC. It's Detroit FC, correct?
Detroit City FC.
Detroit City FC. I saw it. I follow them. It's great.
Just forgot the name.
Great. Well, you know, I'm still learning 7 years later. Professionally, it's amazing. But what's it mean personally, having taken this chance from, you know, I remember our last podcast in the tent in the backyard. You and I were sick, drinking bullet bourbon and smoking cigars in a tent. And everyone else was so angry with us because the cigar smoke just was suffocating people. But, you know, you took a big chance going down to Sacramento. You brought your fam down. Then you went to Detroit after a successful assistant coach at Sacramento. Head back north to Detroit. Have success in the Lamar Hunt Championship, like for the trophy. Have success in the league. Now they have confidence in you and they've said, okay, here's 2 more years. What's it mean personally on a bet on yourself kind of approach for Deitch?
Listen, you know, it's always a risk, you know, Dan, when you're moving your family to a new city. And it was actually my wife, Claire, who pushed me into making the decision. And she said she couldn't live with me when I'm a grumpy old 65-year-old and saying you should have took the chance to go and be a head coach. So I lay a lot of the blame on her.
Well done.
But, no, it was a risk, as you mentioned, Dan, that I had to take because it was something I wanted to do. I was becoming very stagnant at Toronto. I didn't feel I was developing as a coach as well. I'm a big believer in not only me as a coach myself, but the coaches around me in further education as well. And I've just finished my pro license now, which was an intense course with the US Soccer Federation. Rob Gale was on that as well. It was great seeing Rob Gale again. But I think if you don't take these risks in life, Dan, then you regret them later on. Like my wife obviously was trying to push me and say, you've got to do this. Obviously, moving to California was a big, big move for us because the kids were coming out of school and my daughter was going into her last year of high school. But they were all really positive with it. So we did it. We loved living there for 2 years in Northern California. It was a great place to live. But it lit the kind of flame for me in the sense that I wanted more. I wanted to be a head coach. So the right opportunity came up. I interviewed for 2 or 3 different clubs, and Detroit just felt really, really good, just in the sense of the ownership group, the fan base, the city itself, being back closer to Toronto as well. Windsor's literally over the river, as you know. Going back, it was a risk, but something that I think I needed to do. And I'm glad I did it. I'm glad it's worked out because it could have gone sideways. It could have gone the other way as well, Dan. And then we're kind of looking back saying we should have stayed in Toronto with the secure job, with, you know, working in MLS and just doing Groundhog Day every day, going to work and
podcast.
Podcast every once in a while.
Do that in there, Deitch. You know?
But Deitch, you know, everybody just sees a manager get hired through, you know, social media or the announcement that comes out through the club saying, oh, we've hired Danny Diccio. But a lot of people don't understand the process that goes on behind the scenes in hiring a manager. So could you tell us a little bit of the detail that goes in that interview process in order to become the head coach?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a drawn out process for sure. First of all, there's the connect through someone at the club, whether it's the sporting director or someone, one of the directors that reaches out to either your agent or to your club. And Detroit did things very, very, I think, fairly, in the sense that they knew I was still as an assistant coach in Sacramento in the playoffs, and they wanted to interview me, which I interviewed over the kind of online, first of all, like this. And then they wanted to fly me in, and I had to present, you know, obviously your philosophy, your model of play, your style of play. And it's a 2 or 3 day process where they go through certain questions with the ownership group and the sporting director, and to see if you're the right fit. And it's, I think, becoming more and more intense. I listen to some of my friends that are going on MLS interview jobs now, and they're going through 3 different processes with 3 different people, whether it be the sporting director, whether it be one of the owners, whether it be the general manager, and they're having to present 20 to 30 slides of presentation in just different ways, whether it be their philosophy, whether it be their playing style, whether it be, you know, off the field, what they believe in. And these are all things that I think coaches need to have in their pocket in preparation for these interviews. It's no longer a phone call over the phone and just saying, hey, do you fancy coming to Detroit and being our head coach? No, there's a longer process that goes into that now.
Well, you're beating the odds now, Deech, anyway. You're beating the odds because coaches that get rehired is a very rare thing these days.
Good point.
Yeah, it is. And again, it goes back to the risk that Dan spoke about, where you feel or you hope you're doing a good job every day, every week, every game, but you know that you're 3 to 4 losses away from being on the chopping board, Craig, and sometimes even less now. You have a run of 2 bad games, 2 losses, and people are on you, whether it be fans, media, sporting directors looking over your shoulder, ownerships looking over your shoulder, players are starting to look at you differently. So these are all emotions that you have to, you know, keep intact and believe in the process, which, you know, we've done very well here. We have a great group of staff that are very understanding of the way I work, and with my OCD, it's pretty difficult to work with me at times, but I think it's been a success so far, but I want more. I've said that to the ownership group in me signing a new contract. I want to push the club on even more. I want to have more investment in the team. I want to bring better players in. I want to have a stronger squad because, yeah, getting in the playoffs is great, but I want to compete for championships with the Louisvilles, with the Charlestons, with the guys that spend a lot on their budgets. We don't need to spend a huge amount, but I think we can increase our budget a little bit and bring in an even better group of players to compete and get a cup at the end of the season, whether it be in the League Cup, US Open Cup, or USL Championship.
In that process, sorry, Sharms, how much of a role do you think Footy Prime played in you getting that head coaching job?
In dealing with different characters, Amy, it helped me a lot. Yeah.
It's not even on his resume.
Yeah. How much did you emphasize your role on Footy Prime?
They weren't searching you, were they? So, we heard you say this in that podcast. And that was
Are there a lot of Pikeys in Detroit?
There's all kinds in Detroit, Dan. It's an eclectic mix of people.
Deech, listen, mate, we miss you, but we're so happy for your success south of the border. We're going to see you for a long time, I think, on the sidelines. So we'll get down there at some point. Brand new stadium next year. Mm-hmm. One point, we said it before, we'll get down there. 27, right?
Is the new stadium. Next year is our last year at Keyworth. That would be a great place for you guys to come down and even do a podcast on top of the stadium there. Yeah, come down in the summer when it's nice and warm, and you guys will have a great time. I assure you of that.
We'll do it. And thanks for inviting us to your house. That's great. Appreciate that. Deech, mate, thanks so much. Congratulations, and have an amazing 2026.
Thank you, guys. It was really good to see you all. Happy 2026. See you soon. Okay.
Happy New Year. Nice to meet you.
Thanks, Deech.
Are you ready?
DJ Melody.
It's for 40 picks. On Footy Prime.
Oh, my God, remember that? Yes, nice one, Casey. You know what? We've got to get some more picks segment. We will next year. Next year. Like next week.
I know. Tomorrow.
Just to play that. That was great. It's great to chat to Beach again. Amazing. What a legend. Absolute legend. Not just of the podcast world, but of the football world. Mm. So great to chat with him. Where you had one more answer, right, Dubs?
Before we go, I just wanted to mention that I credit/blame Deitch for me having a voice on this show. I don't know if Sharms and Craig remember, but Deitch had to go represent TFC at the MLS Championship in Seattle. So he had to give out the trophy and was on an airplane flying back to Toronto. And I had to host Sharms, you weren't there either, right? Or were you there?
I hope, sincerely hope not.
No, you weren't. So it was me and Craig and someone else joined in. It was, could have been really? Jimmy? I don't know. It was literally.
This is a great story.
Sticky as fuck.
It's the thousandth. We need a banal story too.
I remember this. Before I even met you, Wongo, Deitch would refer to this guy he'd meet at Craig's parties. Mm. Known, and he referred to you as the Chinese Elvis.
What?
Yeah. I will die on the toilet.
He did. So
I had to meet this guy. Who the hell's Chinese Elvis?
And then amazing.
Henceforth,
he shall be known as the Chinese Elvis.
But it is Deitch will be on the, if it keeps going, the Mount Rushmore of Detroit soccer. Seeing that big head of his, that's pretty cool.
I wonder if he'll be snapped up before then.
Ooh.
Somewhere else.
Don't talk about that.
Okay, so I think actually it's a Chinese Elvis' turn to give us his personality of the year.
I thought long and hard about this, and this is someone that we know really well on Footy Prime, and the personality of the year in Canadian soccer is Amy Walsh.
Oh,
she hates taking compliments.
Good Lord.
She played a pivotal role in 800 of these shows. You were an advisor for the Roses for the first inaugural NSL season. You host the broadcast, the number one women's focused football show in Canada. You do that all by yourself, basically. you played a pivotal role in The Pitch with a great, transparent, authentic interview that had everybody thinking and crying. You, every day you bring it, and you crush TSN, you crush CBC for the NSL, you host, you run around, you're a mom, you're a wife, you are a pain in our asses sometimes. and you shouldn't read the comment section, but I think this was a breakout season for you. And I want you to know how much I appreciate you. And I'm sure the guys appreciate you. You give us, you know, you were talking about Thomas Mueller, credibility. You give us credibility. We already had a good structure, but you've raised us. I expect more from everybody now because we've raised the bar because you helped me raise it. And like, these are those things that you've done. So my personality of the year is Amy Walsh.
Woo,
that's why I wanted to go last, fucker.
Made me cry.
Well, you're brilliant.
He's bang on though. Well said. Yes. Well said, Wonger. And I'm sure
you're the sweetest Chinese Elvis I know.
People have told me that before.
I'm pretty sure the listeners and viewers could vote. They'd agree on that as well.
He's the sweetest Chinese Elvis.
All right, listen. What time is it? 40. You got time still, Jimmy? Jimmy, you got time still? I know you are having the jet at some point, and we started late.
A couple of minutes. That's it, and then I got a boogie.
All right, that's fine. Let's get to the Razor Ruddock Guest of the Year award. So we had to like go through ourselves and get a top four final guests. Because that's all X would allow us to put on the tweet, so to speak. So we chose out all our guests, and Dubs, another example of her brilliance, she actually gave us a document with all the guests in each month when they appeared to remind us, which is really helpful. How many were there, Dubs? How many guests were there approximately? Do you remember?
Oh, I'm not sure.
There was a ton.
Yeah.
Probably about 60 guests we had.
60 around there, probably. Yeah, sounds about right.
Something like that.
So we
And that's not including, sorry to interrupt you, Shrams, that's not including the broadcast. So we'll maybe do something in the broads in a new year. But we had phenomenal guests on the broadcast. And then Rian Wilkinson, who is an OG member of the broadcast, and Claire Rusted as well, got super busy. Signa Butler, shout out to Signa, and shout out to Shireen, who filled in, who became regulars themselves. Couldn't have done that without them this year. But we had some great guests in the broads, including Desi Scott, including Scott herself, Liv Scott from Ottawa Rappin, Jackie Savicki, Aaron McLeod, not Sinky. So that all the things that we just talked about and the short list that we put up on X did not include our broadcast guests.
Yeah, and they'll be angered by that, please, dear Faith.
No, we'll do a separate thing. That's why.
Yeah, yeah. So
equal.
Our top four came down to Promise David, Jesper Sorensen, Emmanuel Petit, and Jesse Marsh. And listen, it was so hard to choose those four. We had a little vote here. It's just difficult, but they were all fantastic guests. And we allowed the faithful on X to vote. So the Razor Ruddock inaugural award for guest of the year goes to, with 46% of the vote, Promise David. Which I'm quite happy about. He beat out Jesse Marsh with 27% of the vote. Jesper Sorensen, 18% of the vote. And Emmanuel Petit, 9% of the vote. For some reason, and old algorithms, the old Emmanuel Petit interview didn't track that well on YouTube, which is surprising because it's a fantastic interview.
Yeah.
So search it out and give it a whirl.
You won't have to. It'll be on our best of early next week.
Okay.
Before we start podcasting again.
Okay. Because he was brilliant. But listen, I got no problem at all with Promise becoming our guest of the year, courtesy the Razor Ruddock's investment in the podcast. Because he was great. And we discussed how great he was and what he brings and that colorful personality on and off the pitch. So congratulations, Promise David.
We got a little trophy. We got to get a little trophy for him. Like the ashes.
How about that?
There you go. Is it pewter?
It says crusty on it. Because my buddies gave this to me, and they used to call me crusty because I was miserable in the morning.
Crusty?
Just in the morning.
Yeah, well.
Crusty pants.
Dear.
Well, when I got this, I was in my late teens, so quite possibly.
Nocturnal Sharmans.
Okay, so listen. I know Jimmy's got to jump soon, but anything else you want to touch on or get to? We've got some great feedback on X and on YouTube from our wonderful supporters club as well. We have to give some love to because they've been with us from the beginning. God knows why.
Yeah.
They've become friends. We get to see them, not enough, but we get to see them a fair amount, especially through the summer months at some of those big matches. They're brilliant people. Anyone can join up. There's no subscription yet to join the supporters club. Although, Carrie, think about it. We'll do a rev share.
Yeah.
But yeah, we want to thank them 100% for being.
Well, we do have a couple little notes from them at that.
Yes.
Here we go.
Happy 1000th, Footy Prime. Here's to 1000 more. Favorite moments, just the banter and laughs with everyone and the camaraderie with the supporters group. Anyway, here's to 1000 more. Let's go.
Hey guys, Dougie Simonite here, or Dougie Sims to you, Sharms. Just wanted to wish you guys a happy 1000th and say that my favorite episode was that time the aliens came from space and took over the show. And then Dan and JC had to go and kick them off. That was so funny. Okay, have a great episode. Bye.
Hey, Alan Scholes here. I'd say favorite one is the long lost episode. So thanks for all the memory, guys. And it's been a great time so far. And congratulations on 1000 episodes. Keep up the great work.
Hey, Footy Prime, it's Brett from the Supporters Club. Congrats on 1,000 episodes. My favorite memory has to be, I would say, just the friends we made along the way. So congrats again, and here's to 1,000.
Hey, Footy Prime crew, it's me, Carrie. Congratulations on 1,000 episodes and the millions of moments that you've created. I can't pick a favorite one, but one did pop into my mind. Remember when Craig lost his car? That was a good one. Anyway, here's to 1,000 more. Congratulations. Love to you all.
I forgot about that one.
That was the first episode I ever listened to.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, there was the one also when Craig was sleeping in the background
at Wonger's
studio, and we weren't sure whether he was alive or dead. And then at some point, about half an hour in, he moves. Oh, thank God, Craig's alive!
Yeah, I shouldn't have taken those 5 sleeping pills.
It's great because the supporters also gave us their top, like, I think 45 moments of the last year. But there's so much that I forget about. Most of it I forget about, but they remind me. When we see Carrie and Doug and these guys every year, Chris, they remind us of certain episodes or moments. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that's right. And I just they go through my mind so quickly and I forget about them. So I really appreciate the Supporters Club for reminding us of the good times, like Craig losing his car.
And my favorites that come to mind is obviously our live one at the One Ball Gin launch at Nickel 9. Mm-hmm. That was terrific to be in the same room with tons of those people. And Charms, you were worried that no one was going to show up.
I was.
And a shit ton of people showed up and we felt the love and that was really cool. I think that's where we're at our best, is like in close to people, right? Like live. And then the other one that comes to mind was I was delirious because I was up in the middle of the night covering Women's World Cup matches. So I was in a hotel room in Toronto and we were doing our EPL preview. So it was like August 2023. So our preview of the upcoming EPL season, and it was the Livermento one. Do you remember that one? How it went off the rails and we're like, Livermento? That'd be the worst Mento ever.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Going off the rails is all part of what we do. I think the best show is we go off the rails and we sometimes upset people. We have lost some listeners over the years. But hey, you're offended. Get over it. Not our problem. Anyway, listen, that was a fun show. The 1,000th.
Man, brilliant.
I'm looking forward to next year. I really am. Oh, yes, Dubs.
One more thing. I don't know if this is going to come across here. Hopefully it does.
Footy Prime.
Wait.
Congratulations on 1,000 episodes. Yeah. Thank you so much for... Footy Prime, congratulations on 1,000 episodes. Thank you so much for letting me be a part of such an amazing program, keeping Canadians and everyone in North America updated on everything women's and men's football. You guys are great. And again, congratulations.
For Rian Wilkinson.
Yeah. I actually Rian really high on my list as well as Personality of the Year.
Me too.
Canadian, mm-hmm. A Canadian coaching Wales at Euro. I mean, what an moment that was. And she always flies a flag for Canada, but also for Wales now as well. What a great ambassador she is for this country.
Yeah,
so she was really high up there as well. So many to choose from. Mm-hmm. And that's the year without a World Cup. Next year is going to be freaking bananas.
Bananas.
It's going to be so much fun. And we can't wait to bring our little take of the world's game to you. And you're right, Dubs. Live in person is the way. And that's what we're going to work on a lot in the new year. Lots of ideas. And yes, Carrie, we know our ideas don't always come to fruition. But we're working on that. And when we get some money, we'll hire Carrie to manage us and she'll take care of everything for us. That's the best solution here, isn't it? Let's be honest. We need an event manager. But we'll get paid first.
That's right.
All right, everyone. Well, that's the last Footy Prime of 2025. We'll see you next year. We're not sure which day yet. What day, Wonga? Do we know yet? We got a schedule yet for next week?
Probably the 5th or 6th around there. We might take the Monday off and come back on the Tuesday, the 6th, I think the day is. So so everyone can have a breather. We'll drop a couple more best ofs. We'll put our combined brain, which equals one brain altogether. we'll drop a few more best ofs before the new year, but it's been a great ride so far, everyone. I'm so happy that you're in my life. Am I reading Dubs's text that we just kept copying?
Yeah, you assholes. Love you to bits.
The inside jokes really are the well best done. Jokes.
Yes, they are.
All right, everyone. Till next year. Love you all. Cheers very much for listening and watching. Bye-bye.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. Check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter if we ever make one.
Okay, it was a good run, guys. We're going to start the real record. Right.
Okay, the real video one this time. Good impersonation, though, JC. You nailed Beach this time around.
I had my hand up his butt like a marionette.
Nigel.
Excellent.
Beach is probably thinking, glad I left that lot.
I made the right choice.
He looks so much happier, doesn't he?
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
Ha 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 ha!